Paul McGuire, and you are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. My special guest, as we talk about some powerful subjects today, is Chris McGuire.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Chris. Mm-hmm. So, did I use the words long time no see with you?
No.
You didn't like that,
somebody
right?
Else.
No, there's only one woman in my life.
I know, but long time no see.
Okay, long time no see. We've seen each other for 40 years, and I love her more today than I did. This is not a cliche statement. I truly love my wife more today than I did then.
I do too, Paul.
And okay. You know what? That's a blessing of hanging in there through the tough times and the good times, because as the years go by, it's just something very sweet and precious about having a best friend.
That's right.
It's more beautiful to me today than you were when I first saw you.
Nobody I'd like to hang out with more than you.
That's great. So hang in there if you're in a marriage, and if it's tough, just hang in there, man. Seek the Lord. Okay, Chris, we're going to get right into it because people need to be fed with the power of God's word. There's a lot of stuff happening in our nation and the world, and it's disconcerting, and the statistics say people have anxiety and all kinds of stuff. So we want to build you up in the Word of God so you can live and walk victoriously in the nitty-gritty details of life. And as we share God's Word with you, I believe this will strengthen you supernaturally to be victorious in good times and bad times. Chris, we're going to start with, what do you want to start with, prayer, or you want to start with faith?
Let's start with prayer.
Okay.
Okay. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. So rejoice, like forever, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. I wonder how you can drive a car or go to work or you're interacting with people and pray without ceasing. So what do you think that is, Paul? How do you do that?
Well, that used to be a prayer when I was a young believer when I read this verse, you know, pray without ceasing. I didn't understand what it meant. I thought, you know, dear Lord, I'm going to have to sit here and pray all day long. I'll be bored out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned is that praying without ceasing means that throughout the day and throughout the night, we constantly are in prayer. Now, that doesn't mean every second of the day we're constantly in prayer, because during our daily routines, whether we're driving or if we have to do something involving our full concentration of filling out a report or something, we can't pray without ceasing there. And God knows that. And so he's not trying to put some legalistic burden on us. But in a lot of things that we do, I find that my prayer life, and I think this will set a lot of people free, my prayer life is not based around me getting on my knees, sitting on my knees for 1 hour and praying, whatever. I don't have time to do that. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm running a ministry. I got a million responsibilities. And I don't have to be on my knees praying to get an answer to prayer. So I pray without ceasing during the day. So like when I'm driving, man, I do a lot of my most intense praying while driving. Now, if the traffic is like stop and go and I could possibly be in an accident, well, obviously I stop praying and pay attention to the road. When I'm doing household chores, like washing the dishes or whatever, things that I know that you would like me to do more of, I pray. When I, do all kinds of things, I pray. So it's praying without ceasing is a lifetime of praying throughout your day, and God honors that. Like you wake up in the middle of the night, instead of just spacing out, you pray. So to me, that's what praying without ceasing is.
Well, when you and I pray, we pray without ceasing like for 2 hours a night. I mean, so we get into some really intense prayer. So we pray together without ceasing almost every night.
Yeah, okay. I'm very glad you said that, because I could have misled people into thinking, you know, that our prayer life is just like kind of very casual and loose. No, you're right. The without ceasing part goes on, but as you just said, many nights you and I will pray together for an hour, 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours. Now, I know that sounds like kind of a burden to some people listening, like, gee, how can I pray for an hour, 2 hours, three hours? It sounds like religious work, and I think some people are frightened of that. But we've discovered over the years that when your prayers are really synced up with God and you're caught up in the presence of the Lord, and then your prayers are being prayed as you're filled with the presence of the Lord, you can do intensive spiritual warfare. You can pray for all kinds of things. You can sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and hours go by like minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've laid out in our backyard, putting a blanket here in Southern California, Northern Los Angeles. We put some blankets out on the grass in the backyard. We look up at the stars, and we'll be praying. And this happened to us, I guess, starting about 2 or 3 years ago after the vision I had. And we would lie there and pray. And the next thing you know, we would be caught up in the presence of the Lord. And we were, you know, literally feeling and experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out on us in a very tangible way. And it wasn't a labor to pray that long. I mean, we didn't even want to stop, because it was so joyous. It was so ecstatic. It was like God was just like lifting us into the heavenlies. And I know that sounds like, you know, kind of super spiritual, but that's the way it happened and has happened. And when we pray at night, oftentimes just the other night, you know, just the other night, we were sitting in the same place as we are recording this program. And I felt in prayer, I just felt led to place my hands on your head as I was praying. And I was praying for your healing, and I was praying for all kinds of things. And it wasn't work. As the anointing flowed through me and I could feel the power of God move through your body and your mind, I was getting blessed. You were getting blessed. And time flies. All I can say is it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's like, right, you know, people might think, wow, what is he talking about? Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't used to be like that years ago because I didn't know how to pray. But it's like riding a surf wave. I mean, it's really, really intense fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. We did that tonight also.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But let me go back to that. Not only, see, when I was a young believer and people brought up prayer, my immediate reaction was yuck, okay? Mm-hmm. Or if people said, do you want to go to a prayer meeting? My immediate reaction was, ugh, it's the last thing I want to do. When people said, do you want to be an intercessory prayer warrior or you know, join us in prayer? Again, my immediate reaction was, ugh, how boring. Well, that's because I didn't understand how incredibly powerful and joyous and ecstatic prayer was. I still had this religious mindset. But when we began to pray and when we began to experience the presence of the Lord being poured out in our midst, man, he takes you right up into the heavenlies, right?
Amen.
And, you know, there are many times when we're praying, and the primary way we pray is we repent. That doesn't mean we spend an hour listing our sins. We simply repent. We appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ over all of our sins, and we receive God's righteousness by faith, and then we go into the throne room of God in our spirit man and woman, and we come boldly to the throne of grace to find an ever-present help in time of need. So we're praying from the perspective of being in the throne room. And, you know, I can't see these things tangibly. I'm not saying they're playing out like a movie, crystal clear. But we have this awareness that we're surrounded by millions of believers in Christ. We're surrounded by angels, and you can hear the great chorus of people worshiping, you know, saying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb upon the throne." And this is not boring stuff. This is intense. It's better than any ride in Disneyland, Disney World, or Universal Studios or whatever. Virtual reality, that's nothing. Like, that's virtual reality of a ghetto. Going into the heavenlies and talking to Jesus, that is, it's like we're addicted to it, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, not that I don't want people to think I'm bragging over my sinful past, but in my wilder days when I was a teenager and stuff, you know, I was taking LSD and all this stuff to get high. That's nothing. There's a pure high when you're worshiping Jesus. And you can take your drugs and burn it. There's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, if that doesn't turn you on listening, I don't know what will.
Amen. So, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Mark 11:24. Now, that how is that the big blue Cadillac outside that I want?
Where are you? Oh, okay. That's a very, very good question. Okay.
I don't want a Cadillac, by the way.
Yeah, I know. No offense to Cadillacs, but they require a lot of repair. I don't want either. Therefore, plus as a minister of the gospel, I choose the vehicle I drive carefully for you and me. And I don't want to drive a vehicle that would cause somebody to stumble. So I drive a good car, a nice car, but it's the car of average middle-class working person. I don't buy some fancy car. Because I'm a servant of Christ, and I want to send a message with my lifestyle that I'm not in it for the money. But anyway, okay, so back to this verse. Which verse was it? I'm sorry.
Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Well, I can apply that. When I first got saved, I wanted a man totally sold out to the Lord. And I got it, you know. I knew that I would be happy if I had a man that was totally sold out to the Lord. So I know that we've walked it in faith. Our whole life has been really walking in faith. I wanted children, as have difficulty having them, and then. But people kept praying. We kept praying, and people prayed for us, and then finally, I got pregnant. So, and I had three children, which made me the happiest mother in the world. So, I still don't know how you discern between physical, tangible wealth items, and you know how you, because I think God blesses you there too, if you're. If it's in his will.
Right. Well, this is a very important question. It's a question of balance, and it's a question of, are your prayers being really led by the Spirit of God? So when it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, tragically, there are moves of God throughout history and time periods. So there was, and it's still around, what was called the prosperity gospel or the health and wealth movement or the name it and claim it movement. But it was best known as the prosperity gospel. And like so many areas where believers get into spiritual era, it's not because all of it is false. It's because it gets taken to an extreme or it goes off on a tangent. The idea that God wants to prosper his people is a biblical idea. It says continually throughout the Bible that God wants to prosper his people. But it's according to God's terms, not man's terms. And it's according to God's terms and not the world's terms. So the verse, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health," is what God wants. Now, here's the critical thing and why so many people in the faith movement ended up teaching a heretical doctrine and ended up in error, and the faith movement went over the cliff. It became biblically out of balance. Not everybody, but a great deal of it. So it says, "Whatsoever things you desire." Now, a lot of people think, well, wow, that means whatever I desire, if I pray, I'm going to get. So if I want a Cadillac or a high-end Mercedes or a jumbo jet or a mansion or, you know, it's all these materialist things, then God's going to give them to me. And I heard over the years so many people go off the tracks who were faith teachers preaching this. And then they were actually going out and buying jumbo jets and Mercedes and everything else. And they moved into the area of error and began teaching error. So what God says regarding this has to be taken in context with all the other verses God uses. And we can't take this verse in isolation. When it says, "what things soever you desire," God, if you read the other passages of Scripture, God is saying, for example, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you by my Father's in heaven. So the prerequisite is we are to abide in Christ, and he's to abide in us. That means also that we're to abide in the Word of God, and the Word of God is supposed to abide in us. When we're abiding in Jesus and the Word of God cleanses and purifies our motives. So our fleshly motives, which might be less lusting after a jumbo jet or a high-end Mercedes, are dealt with by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and we become more Christ-like. And the idea is that we then begin to ask for things in accordance with the will of God. So when it says, "whatsoever things you desire," what it's saying is, whatsoever things that you desire that are God's desires. Because as you walk in closer fellowship with the Lord, God's desires and your desires become one. You don't go off on an extreme asking God for jumbo jets and stuff because you know that's not God's desire for your life. And so this is what some of these faith passages are presuming. They're presuming that you're being sanctified, that you're being transformed in your inner man or woman. And so when it says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. But if we're truly abiding in the Lord and he's abiding in us, then we're abiding in the Word and the Word's abiding us. That transforms and purifies our inner man, so then our desires become Christ's desires. And that keeps us from praying for things that are really out of the will of God. And so God wants to perform miracles for us. God wants to miraculously provide for us. Mm-hmm. God wants to move mountains for us. Mm-hmm. God wants to miraculously supply our financial needs. God wants to miraculously heal us. God wants to miraculously promote us and use us in ways way beyond that we can even dream of. That's God's desire. But it's not God's desire that we're raised up and made wealthy and accumulate all these material possessions just to gratify our selfish lusts. And how the faith movement went off track is that it began to promote this idea that our self-centered desires would be answered by God in prayer. No, we're supposed to be servants. So as long as we're in the will of God, as long as we're in synchronization of what God wants for us, he will provide miracles. You know, I think of a man of God, a great God, a man of God, who had a powerful influence on my life. His name was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ.
Bill Bright.
Bill Bright and his wife, Lynette Bright. Bill Bright raised countless billions of dollars to literally reach through Campus Crusade, his ministry. He won, literally, especially through the Jesus movement, hundreds of millions of people came to the Lord through his ministry. He could have been filthy, filthy rich. He could have lived in a mansion, owned his own jumbo jet, et cetera, et cetera. But Bill Bright and Vanette Bright had very relatively modest lifestyles. They had a very nice condo when Campus Crusade moved to Florida. But they didn't live in mansions. They didn't have private jets. They were servants. So God could trust Bill Bright because I accompanied Bill Bright on many of his meetings and his presentations. When he would speak to a room, when Bill Bright would speak to a room of multimillionaires and movers and shakers, and he would challenge them to give money for the preaching of the gospel, Bill Bright could be trusted with that money because he didn't ask for it so he could build himself a mansion. He poured that money back as a faithful steward to reaching the world for Jesus Christ. That's what God wants. Now, there are other people who just, you know, built mansion after mansion for themselves. Now, God is not saying you got to be poor. I mean, some people are called to certain businesses, certain occupations, where you need a certain level of car. You need to have some kind of mansion-like house. You need to convey prosperity, or you won't be respected in your field. It's a cost of doing business. That would be for people who are moving with high rollers in business, or entertainment industry stars, or executives, or film directors, or actors. So many fields where it's a necessity. If you're going to make an influence, you can't come up driving a Volkswagen. You got to drive a high-end car. In that case, God would be willing to grant you that kind of thing. Am I making any sense?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a matter of your being free of
of
lust for for material items. And when your spirit, when you're free, and you and when you have a desire to have whatever, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them. Well, if your desire lines up with the word of the Lord,
yes.
And if your heart is, you know, I'm a businesswoman, I'm a businessman, and I have to look nice, I have to dress well, I have to have, you know, a first class outfit, and I have to have a car, like you said, that represents my company and me well, and so and then God will bless you financially. That's a good thing. Those are all very good things. I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, I know God wants more people in positions of power like
right,
that.
Right. Right.
And I'm really excited that God's doing that. God's, you know, is raising people up.
Well, you're absolutely right. And then on the other side of the fence here, and this is a very important topic of conversation, it is, no question, it is the desire of God to raise up men and women in our lifetime that he can trust with billions of dollars and enormous power. God wants to do that because they can employ thousands of people. Their testimony of running major corporations or film studios or whatever they happen to be good at gives them a place at the table, and through their business success, people are going to listen to them, whereas many people will not listen to somebody who does not have the equivalent success. So God's trying to raise up people in a variety of fields, and I don't want for one minute to suggest that God wants your dream to be small or that God wants you to be poor. God wants entrepreneurs who create high-tech companies and software that generate tens of billions of dollars. He wants film directors that make, you know, films that gross $300 million. He wants people on the head and not the tail. And the sky's the limit with God. But the thing is, it's a trust relationship. Now, one thing I want to mention is that that's important to God. And Christians, no Christians, everybody listening to us should not be afraid of success. And if God is calling you to dream big, then you need to dream big. But let me share one thing. Over the years, I've met many people starting out, let's say in the film business. They want to be actors or directors or music stars or businessmen, entrepreneurs, starting businesses, etc. I've met quite a few of them who are Christians. And this is what I have observed. They come to me because they know I'm a minister, et cetera, et cetera. And I used to be a film producer and stuff like that. And they come to me and say, you know, I'm believing God's going to bless my entrepreneurial idea. He's going to make me a star in Hollywood or a music star or a director or a business, you know, mogul of some kind. And then they say, and then I'll be in a position to finance the gospel of Jesus Christ and finance ministries like yours and give money to sending missionaries and stuff like that. Okay. But then I've noticed that most of these people, not all, but most of them, when God begins to bless them, they often forget the promises or pledges they made to God, and it just goes out the window. But as you said, a lot of people are faithful. They do remember the promises and pledges that they made to God. And then when they become successful, they give back to God. They finance his ministries. But you had something important to say about how we can't judge people externally in this area.
Right. Because none of us are born with a road. You know, God says, here's your roadmap. This is the way you're going to spend the rest of your life. We don't know. All of us are, we have desires in our heart of what we'd like to do. And many times these desires are blessed immediately. You know, you're just ultimately talented in a particular area. But like, I wanted to be a famous actress, so I went to New York City, and that was the very thing that led me to you. So God used the desire of being an actress to lead me to my husband. And I couldn't have found anyone, you know, so anyone like you. I mean, you're so original and so unusual. So God did answer the desire of my heart, which was different than what I set out to think that it was. You know, I thought it was acting. I thought that was going to be my whole life, and it wasn't. It was being a mother and being a wife.
Yeah. Now, this is very important, and I think we want to spend a little bit more time on it because we're delving into an area which is people have confusion about it, and I believe God wants to straighten it out so he can allow them to grow wings and fly like an eagle here. And one thing I want to point out is in line with what you just said, and it goes along with the biblical law, which is called the law of use. And I heard Pat Robertson say that years ago. He wrote a book on the secrets of success, and he talked about the law of use. And the idea is, and this goes back to the parable of the talents in the New Testament, that when this manager went away, and then he was going to come back after a time, he distributed to his like sub-managers or whatever a certain amount of talents each, a certain amount of money. Ironically, it's called talents, but he distributed among his, let's say, sub-managers a certain amount of money each, and he said to them that he expected a return on his investment when he came back. He expected them to multiply the wealth that he gave them, and this is a critical principle to understand as a Christian. God is all about multiplication of resources stewardship and faithfulness and growing a business, growing a ministry, growing a family. God is all about multiplication and growth. And that's why, even in a biological sense, he says, be fruitful and multiply all over the Old Testament. So when the manager comes back, there are a number of the lower level managers who were faithful, and they invested the talents or money the manager gave them, and they made varying degrees of profit. And the manager that went away praised all the managers who increased or who multiplied the money he gave them. And the more they made, the happier the manager was. But there was one manager who was so scared that he would lose the money that the manager who went away came back and rebuked him harshly and said, you know, you lazy servant, you know. And even this manager accused the manager of having impure motives, which was a cop-out. And he rebuked the manager that was frightened and called him a lazy, wicked, disobedient servant because he was so scared that he wouldn't multiply the money he was given. He buried it and hid it near a tree because of fear. He was operating out of fear. Now, that isn't some just passing by story in the Bible. That illustrates God's mind towards investments, talents, money, and abilities. God expects each one of us to take those baby steps and grow whatever talents, money, and giftings he's given us. He expects growth. And if we're so afraid of doing it perfectly that we do nothing, or if we're so afraid that circumstances are right that we do nothing, God will rebuke us as being unfaithful servants. So when people are analyzing their lives, if they're sitting around and waiting for the perfect opportunity, or if they're sitting around waiting until they're pure and holy enough to begin something that God is calling them to do, and because of these fears, they end up not growing their gifting, their talent, or multiplying their money, this is the opposite of what God wants, and God will not be pleased with that individual. So like you said, we may not be perfect when we start out to use our talents, our gifts, or ability, or invest. We may not be perfect, but if we will obey God and step out in faith and attempt to be teachable and learn, as we multiply what God has given us, we're growing what God has given us, and then we get the favor and approval of God. And the reason I'm saying this is because there's many Christians I meet who are so afraid of doing the wrong thing, are so afraid that they're not holy or pure enough, that they do nothing. They grow nothing. They don't develop their talents and their gifts. And I can't tell you, Chris, how many Christians I meet who I know God has given all these talents and gifts and abilities and money or whatever, and they sit on it out of fear. They don't do anything. And God is not pleased with that kind of attitude. So if you want to have a biblical attitude, and if you want to see your prayers answered, and if you want to see blessing and wealth and your talents and your dreams come to fruition, God expects you to actually get off your posterior, get in motion, even though you're not perfect, and grow it and make it happen. That is the man or woman that when God meets in heaven, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So the law of use is essential. And sitting on our talents and bearing our talents is something that God cannot stand.
Absolutely. That's a habit, too. If you were trained in your youth to be resourceful, then usually that resourcefulness applies when you grow older,
right,
when you become an adult. But here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. So be careful for nothing. What it means is not to be careless, but don't have anxious. Don't be anxious. But by everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, again, being thankful for all the many things you have in your life, let your requests be known unto God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So again, the peace of God becomes the reward by constantly praying and petitioning the Lord with your requests. And in Jeremiah 29:12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So that means I will listen to you. So God is listening. Even sometimes you have to pray for a long time. Sometimes right. It's a day, a week, a year, years, you know, and you constantly bring it before the Lord. You constantly bring the issue before the Lord, and he will answer it.
Right.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, Romans 12:12. So rejoicing in hope, knowing that you're the hope of the Lord wants good things for you. So as you continue in prayer for the issue that you're praying for, and you're patient in the tribulation that, you know, maybe you need to be released from a job or released from a situation, a relationship or something, God will be there with you constantly, continually instant in prayer. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call to him, to all that call upon him in truth. Psalms 145:18. The Lord is near, mm-hmm. near that person to call, who call on him in truth. So call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. That's...
What was that? What is that one, Paul? That was the one that we put on our...
No. The one we put on our wedding napkin in gold was how vast are the resources that open up to us who believe or trust in him.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That sort of says what you were saying about how vast are the resources.
Right.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So Matthew 18:20.
And let me just share something here, because what you're reading is igniting stuff in my spirit. You read Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, God doesn't operate according to the world system. He's looking for faithfulness, and that's not always measured in worldly terms like numbers and millions of dollars or whatever. But God wants his people to dream big, and God wants his people to trust him. And the one thing that God wants is people to use their faith and to step out in faith and begin. You know, not just always hold back out of fear, but to step out in faith and begin.
Mm-hmm.
Because God can't bless you if you're just sitting on your butt waiting for everything to come to you. You have to go out there and give an opportunity for God to bless you. Like, in other words, God's not going to bless you with a business idea if you don't go out and try to make it happen. Or a musical talent, or whatever else, and here's the critical thing: God called every one of us alive now in these last days. He called us to be here for such a time as this, and he knew us before the foundation of the world. That means he equipped every one of us with all kinds of natural talents and spiritual gifts that he once used. But the tragedy is, only a small percentage of God's people are actually tapping into the resources that God has already given them. And God is able to do, as this is the verse we put on our wedding napkin, how vast are the resources that open up to those of us who trust in him. So if you will make the effort to trust God, that is the way that he opens up his vast resources. And I just want to say this to everyone listening. Many of you, God has so much for you in store. God has ministries. God has callings. God has gifts. God has job ideas. God has dreams. God has certain careers he wants you to be in. God has so much more for you than you think he does. And I want to encourage you to renew your mind with the Word of God and the promises of God's Word, because many of you have settled into a comfortable rut. And, you know, that's fine for a season, but God wants to do something incredible for your life. And if you'll simply step out on faith, God will make it happen. He's just looking for those baby steps of obedience. And this is how revival occurs, and this is how our nation has changed. You know, God, when we allow God to move in our life dynamically, he will give us the intelligence and wisdom we may not think we have. He will provide the finances we need. He will give us the ideas we need. He'll give us the helpers we need. He'll give us favor with the people we need. He will do so many things for us, but we have to step out in faith. We have to get out of the boat and at least make the attempt of walking on the water towards Jesus. Now, we may sink in the water, but we at least make the attempt of walking on the water towards Jesus.
Amen. Because walking on the water towards Jesus it's a total trust in him.
Right, right.
It's total trust.
Right.
That he will not let you down.
Right.
In James 4:2, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Hmm. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Okay, so when we take things into our own hands,
yes,
we get ourselves into trouble. And yes, when we try to manipulate ourselves or manipulate a circumstance or try to cheat or, you know, obtain something that, you know, some people really lust after power and they'll mm-hmm. do anything to get it, mm-hmm. including, you know, hurting people.
Right.
So that when God wants us to come to him.
Right.
And that, yeah.
Yeah, because the word says God raises up one and puts down another. So we have to trust the fact that if we are willing to humble ourselves before the Lord and to step out in faith, God is willing to and wants to raise us up.
Right.
But if we're going to be proud and arrogant and manipulate and sabotage people, we'll find ourselves humbled or brought down by the Lord.
Right. And which brings me to faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when you go to the Lord and you have the faith that God's going to move in a particular situation and know that the outcome and the evidence of things not seen, so you have the hope that the faith and the hope that you see the outcome of that situation. Say like you have a loved one that you want to be saved, or a loved one that you're concerned about that's lost. You see the outcome of that, and so you see the evidence of things not seen. So it's not actually manifested itself right now, but you see it manifested in the spirit.
Amen.
That's Hebrews 11:1.
And there's so many people listening to us talk, Chris, and many people listening to us. God has so much more for you than you realize in store for your life. And, you know, it doesn't matter what other people think of you, if they've called you stupid, if they've marginalized you. I mean, that hurts, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't even really matter what you think of you. What matters is what God thinks of you. And God believes in you, and God has invested in you all kinds of talents and abilities. So I meet a lot of people who are very frustrated in life because, you know, they're just getting by, etc. But if they would truly open up a part of their hearts and minds to what the Lord has to say to them, and then just step out in those baby steps of faith, God can take their life from the ordinary, the mundane, and if they will follow the Lord step by step, God can raise them up, and God can do things in and through them that they thought would never have been possible.
Amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him.
Right.
For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
So, Chris, as we're sharing the Word of God together with the people that are listening to us, I have this very strong impression and sense that God wants to move powerfully and miraculously in people's midst right now, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God, and people's faith has been stirred up. And, you know, one thing that has happened over the years of my ministry is that there's different gifts of the Spirit, and one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of faith. And right now, I feel the gift of faith operating in my heart and my spirit. And the gift of faith allows me to supernaturally believe for the answers to prayers that I could normally never believe that they would be answered on my own human strength. But when the gift of faith takes over, it's like my faith is amplified supernaturally by the power of God. And then when I begin to pray, I know that I know that I know my prayers are going to be answered. So I would like, Chris, you and me, and for every one of you listening, to join with me in prayer, because I believe that God wants to move into your life right now and reveal His power to you and to pull your inner man or woman out of whatever rut or doldrums you may be in and bring you by the power of the Lord into that dynamic way of living where you can say, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. So if you would like to agree with me in prayer, I believe that God's power will touch you and He'll transform things in your inner man or woman, and He will begin to change the direction of your life, and He'll begin to bring forth the dreams and ideas that you've been asking Him about. Because God's been speaking to many of you about a change of career, a change of doing this, and you've been wondering about it, and I believe God wants to send His power into your life to bring it about. Do you believe that, Chris?
Absolutely.
Because you see, the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is at work in your life and our lives right now. So pray this prayer with me if you feel led and you would like to see God move in a powerful, dynamic way in your life and release, truly release the destiny that He put in you before the foundation of the world. Repeat these words. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you now by faith, Father. I come boldly to the throne of grace. And Father, in Jesus' name, I reach out my hand to grasp your hand. And in Jesus' name, God, I ask that there would be the outflow of your supernatural power into my life, my circumstances, and my personality, and that as I reach out to you in faith, your virtue, your power will move through me, and you will transform my psychological being. You will release my calling and destiny. You will give me the faith, the belief, the energy to step out of whatever rut that I may be in, or the complacency I may be in, or the subtle defeatism I may be in, and as I reach out in faith, God, I believe that your strong hand from heaven is going to grab my hand and pull me out of the routine of my everyday life and to begin to move me into the calling and the destiny that you created for me before the beginning of time. So let's pray this prayer. Jesus, I reach out my hand right now and I grab your hand by faith. Lord, I ask that right now you would send your supernatural power, your supernatural wisdom, and your supernatural anointing in my life. God, I dare to name before you the dreams, the ideas that I have, that I believe you've given me about my future, about my career, about my calling, or answers to prayer about family or finances or any number of things. Now, you don't have to say this out loud. If you're with other people, you can say it privately. If you're alone, you can name the dreams out loud before the Lord. But right now, at this moment, as you're grabbing the Lord's hand by faith, I want you to tell the Lord what you are asking him to do. Like if you feel the Lord is calling you, let's say, to go back to school, then pray that he would provide the finances and the way. If you feel that you're have talents and abilities to go into this career or ministry or that career, then name that specifically before the Lord. Whatever the Lord has put on your heart and mind that you believe that he wants you to do, don't allow your doubts or your self-limiting thinking to censor it. Give it to God and then believe that God Almighty can make a way for you where there is no way. Because I believe right now, as we pray together, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to move directly into your life. He's going to lift you up. He's going to make a way where there is no way. And his supernatural resources will be released into your life. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I hold your hand in faith now, God. And I ask God in the name of Jesus, and now you give him the things that he's been putting on your heart to do. I give you my career plans, God. I give you my business ideas, God. I give you the idea for the plan of my life. I give you my ministry ideas, my calling ideas. I give you the destiny that I believe that you've called me to do. No matter how big it is, don't limit God. Just give it to him. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you that your supernatural power would flood into my mind and heart right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and that the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead is at work in my life right now. And in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, that the Spirit of Almighty God is flowing from heaven directly into my life, my heart, my mind, and being. And I literally feel myself being lifted up spiritually by the hand of God. I feel myself being pulled up out of a rut, pulled up out of the mundane, pulled up out of a routine. And I thank you, God, that you have rebirthed and reignited the vision, the dreams, the plans that I had for my life, God, that you're breathing new life upon them, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, right now, as I grab your hand tightly, I thank you, God, at this moment, Jesus, that you will supernaturally perform a miracle for me and that you will make a way where there is no way regarding what I've requested, that you will provide the finances, the education, the favor, and the opportunities. I believe you, Almighty God, for the impossible. I thank you for reversing my fortunes. I thank you, God, for raising me up. I thank you, Jesus, for releasing my destiny. And now, Lord, let the blessing of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord cover every aspect of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Amen.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. Amen.
Read that again. That's very powerful.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
So what that means is that that the faith of Jesus in you overcomes the world. And you may not think you have the proper education, or you didn't grow up in the proper environment, or you don't live in the right neighborhood. But Jesus Christ has overcome the world system on your behalf, and his hand is upon you, and he can raise you up despite those things. He can make a way where there is no way. Your job is to believe God, receive his blessing, and then be faithful to do the little things he calls you to do in obedience. God wants to use you, and he's looking for men and women that will turn their hearts towards him in faith, and he will literally do the impossible in your life. So Chris and I rejoice as God has touched many of you now. And I just want to encourage you to visit the website, paulmaguire.us. We have social media apps. You can listen to the archives of this program or on all kinds of technology at paulmaguire.us. We have a full range of books, like A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, which explains prophecy and the money system, but it explains how God's supernatural power and ability can cause you to triumph, especially in the monetary system, after a careful study of Daniel and Joseph and King Solomon. You need to get that book and bring those truths into your life. They'll set you free. A lot of people talk about a wealth transfer from the wicked to the righteous, but that wealth transfer will only occur when the righteous are actually doing things tangible that will give God an opportunity to transfer the wealth in their direction. And number two is, we want to spread this message all around the world. We want to set people free with the power and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to use God's prophetic word and the promises of his word. We want to win souls for Jesus Christ. We want to make disciples of all nations. We want to teach people how to practically occupy until he comes. And then we want to teach God's people how they can utilize their supernatural resources to be more than overcomers in this world. Help us, partner with us in this worldwide ministry. Say, Paul, I want to be your regular partner in the area of prayer, intercession, praying for you, your family, and your ministry. I welcome your regular partnership if you'll do that. For those of you that God is calling to become regular partners in the giving of gifts and donations so that we can acquire the finances to complete our television studio, to fully ramp up our television ministry, we've begun the initial launch of the Roku channel. It's called the Paul Maguire Report. You can go there now if you'd like to see it. But we want to move into the area of daily and weekly programming, plus broaden our radio outreach and our media outreach. So would you join us as either regular partners with your finances and your donations? Some of you, it may be just a one-time donation. God has blessed you in a big way. Well, consider planting a seed in a big way. And if God has led you to pray for us, we need your prayers. And even your willingness to partner with us in spreading this program via links to people that need to hear it would be greatly appreciated. God bless you. I'm Paul Maguire.
And I'm Chris Maguire.
And we are your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And we are telling you before the Lord Most High, we, along with you, are well able to take the land. And that's a good report. And you're well able to take the land, God's promised land for you, and that's a good report.
Amen.
Write us, take advantage of all the free material at paulmaguire.us. God bless you. I'm Paul Maguire, and this is
Chris Maguire,
my co-pilot on this great adventure. God bless you. Catch you again. I'm Paul Maguire. This is the Paul Maguire Report.